It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Someone once said that America is great because it is good. And that if America ceases to be good, it will no longer be great. It is the goodness in Americans that informs the greatness of America.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
The freedom to do what is right and good for yourself, your family. To reap the blessings of hard work. To accomplish dreams, to live securely, to help others. Not by force of government, but by goodness of heart. Where rights are not granted by government or claimed by identities, but are unalienable as members of the human race. Today, America's greatness is challenged by those with extreme notions. Defunding law enforcement as lawlessness abounds. Hateful rhetoric, telling you what to wear and when you can work. Limiting free speech and freedom of worship. Old ideas of socialism repackaged in redefined words. Let us restore the values that made America great.
We will make America strong again.
Return to the higher standard.
We will make America proud again.
A land of freedom of speech, of worship.
We will make America safe again.
A land of security and prosperity.
And we will make America great again.
A land of greatness.
All right, that's the way it opened last night, the last night of the Republican National Convention, and that gives you a taste. I hope you watched it, at least parts of it. And the reason I say that is, yeah, I think I have a preference for how you vote. But the main thing is for any of you just to kind of remember what your country's like, its foundings, the people who make it work, the law-abiding citizens of every race and color and creed. Who live here. We're in a family. This is something I've come to understand. It's like you love your families. You don't always get along, do you, with your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, I don't know, your mom, your dad. You don't always, your siblings, you're not always in harmony, but they're your family and they have a special place in your heart in terms of protection. And when push comes to shove, you pull together. And that's the way the American family is. America is our family. On this earth, they are our extended family. It's where we live. We share this ground, this property. We share, our fences bump up against one another. And, everything, what happens in our neighborhood affects all of us. And so it was a beautiful, really, display of America as I have known it, as I've been growing up, the America that I'm fighting to preserve. Not just, I think the danger is when we start wanting to preserve America for our own comfort and safety, and that's the end of our desire for it. But what I see in these conventions every night for the RNC, I just see the name of Jesus and faith being just underscored time after time after time. I was really stunned a couple of nights ago when President Trump actually gave the testimony of the black man who had been arrested by the FBI agent. And the whose name I can't remember in this moment, but he had become a Christian. And President Trump, on tape, is telling the story about how he found Jesus Christ and how it changed his life. And then the FBI agent is talking about how they became friends. He and the man he arrested for bank robbery. And it's just an incredible story of redemption. And that's really, that's woven into the American story. So it's pretty thrilling. Last night, the president was, it was a low key, it was 70 minutes, but it was a low key message or low key delivery. But he started it by thanking his wife, Melania. And then he thanked his daughter, Ivanka, who had just spoken. And then he thanked his children. He thanked his grandchildren. And he thanked his brother and said, I know he's watching from heaven because he just died last week. So it was a particularly poignant moment. Of course, he said a lot of things in his speech. He said the things that you know, that he wants to make America great again, that he wants to protect the police, that he wants to build the economy, that he wants to be strong and for our military, that he wants to restore law and order, that he wants to secure the borders. You know, you could fill in the blanks, right? We could all talk about it. It's not a secret what he's trying to do. We know what he's trying to do. But at one point, this clip will give you just an idea of how he sounded last night, at least for a few seconds of the 90 minutes or 70 minutes. Let's listen.
This is the most important election in the history of our country. At no time before have voters faced a clearer choice between two parties, two visions, two philosophies, or two agendas. This election will decide whether we save the American dream or whether we allow a socialist agenda to demolish our cherished destiny. This election will decide whether we will defend the American way of life or whether we will allow a radical movement to completely dismantle and destroy it.
That was just a part, a very small part of President Trump's speech last night. And of course, as in the other nights, they featured just regular people. Stunning. I just love that part. Honestly, I just love that part. And I'm going to play some of them for you, as many as I can. I want you to hear them. Alice Johnson was in prison for 20 years. And because of the criminal justice reform efforts by the president, she was released from prison. I think you should hear her story. This is clip 7.
I'm Alice Marie Johnson. I was once told that the only way I would ever be reunited with my family would be as a corpse. But by the grace of God and the compassion of President Donald John Trump, I stand before you tonight, and I assure you, I'm not a ghost. I am alive, I am well, and most importantly, I am free. In 1996, I began serving time in prison, life plus 25 years. I had never been in trouble. I was a first-time nonviolent offender. What I did was wrong. I made decisions that I regret. Some say, you do the crime, you do the time. However, that time should be fair and just. We've all made mistakes. None of us want to be defined forever based on our worst decision. While in prison, I became a playwright, a mentor, a certified hospice volunteer, an ordained minister, and received the Special Olympics Event Coordinator of the Year Award for my work with disabled women. Because the only thing worse than unjustly imprisoning my body is trying to imprison my mind. My transformation was described as extraordinary. Truth is, there are thousands of people just like me who deserve the opportunity to come home. I never stop fighting for my freedom. My Christian faith and the prayers of so many kept hope alive. When President Trump heard about me, about the injustice of my story, he saw me as a person. He had compassion, and he acted. Free in body thanks to President Trump, but free in mind thanks to the Almighty God. I couldn't believe it. I always remembered that God knew my name, even in my darkest hour, but I never thought a president would. When I was released on June 6, 2018, I ran across that road and hugged my grandchildren for the first time. I'll never forget that feeling. And then I remembered the promise I had made to the men and women I left behind, that I would never stop fighting for them, and I haven't. I'm using my voice to tell their stories, and I pray that my face reminds you of those forgotten faces. 6 months after President Trump granted me a second chance, he signed the First Step Act into law. It was real justice reform, and it brought joy, hope, and freedom to thousands of well-deserving people. I hollered, hallelujah! My faith in justice and mercy was rewarded. Imagine getting to hug your loved ones again and to think this first step meant so much to so many. I can't wait because we're just getting started. The nearly 22 years I spent in prison were not wasted. God had a purpose and a plan for my life. I was not delayed or denied. I was destined for such a time as this. I pray that you will not just hear this message, but that you will be inspired by my story. And your compassion will lead you to take action for those who are forgotten. That's what our president, Donald Trump, did for me. And for that, I will be forever grateful. God bless you. God bless President Trump. And God bless America.
All right. That was Alice Johnson. Do you see what I'm talking about? So many different people presented, and they all had different stories, like a lobster fisherman from Maine a few nights ago. There was a woman last night who runs a company that actually makes very intricate parts. They are the last business in the United States that actually manufactures everything in whatever it is that they make from the ground up. And she talked about how when the Chinese came in, the business left them. And they hung on by threads, and they discovered what it's 5D printing or 3D printing. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. And that kind of got them through the hard times. And she talked about how the president came down to help small businesses and how they thrived. And just everybody has a different story. But I think one of the themes of it is redemption and hope and joy, each of them in their own ways. There was a girl that I can't – I wish I could play all of these. I wish I could. Let me see if I can find her name. Stacia Brightman. She went to the military, and she got a good education, but she couldn't find a job. And she floundered. She had a lot of, and she found herself homeless. She became part of a program called Find Something New that President Trump started. She got trained. Whatever it is she does, I can't remember, but she became very good at it. She got promoted. And she just beamed. She said, now I'm getting ready to close on my first house. And she said, there's hope. There's hope. And now I have hope. It's just many, many stories just like that. Regular Americans, I think that's what made it so inspiring. I'm going to play a few other clips for you. And I also want to talk about what happened in Kenosha to that young man that did the shooting up there, to who the people are that got shot. We'll do an update on that. But I also want to bring you, there were like stories from Rudy Giuliani about what's happening to the city of New York. There's a testimonial from one of the police organizations, the head of the police organization, just talking about what's happening with police and how we need strong law and order. And so it was a really great night. And by the way, if you have a comment on what happened last night, if there's like a favorite thing that you saw, a favorite presentation, maybe that's one way we could help a little bit, because I can't play all of them. Maybe you could tell me what your favorite part of it was, or maybe you didn't like it. You do not have to like it. A lot of people didn't like it, as a matter of fact. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and this is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
America is in peril. We see rioting in the streets with no regard for life or personal property. For the first time in America's history, we intentionally collapsed our economy over a viral threat originating in China. Mayors and governors are demanding that churches and businesses close, while abortion clinics, liquor stores, and big box stores are open. Pastor, are you prepared to lead and protect your flock during these troubling days? The upcoming retreat, America at the Crossroads, a 911 call for pastors, can help. It's August 30th through September 2nd in Grapevine, Texas. Become equipped to address such issues as Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, cultural Marxism, and COVID-19. Scheduled speakers include Dr. Robert Jeffress, Bishop E.W. Jackson, Dr. Rick Scarborough, and others. Register today at libertypastors.com. Again, that's libertypastors.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. A group of Virginia construction workers mighty upset after the state told them to take down a large American flag. The flag had been placed on the side of the new General Assembly building, about 50 feet wide, 20 feet long, displayed to celebrate the 4th of July. But state leaders feared the flag would end up becoming a target for Black Lives Matter protesters. So they told their construction workers it had to come down. A spokesperson for the Department of General Services said that over the past few months, vandalism has been reported around Capitol Square, and they feared the flag was a target for people protesting racial injustice. State Senator Ryan McDougal said the decision to take down Old Glory was outrageous and said whoever gave the order ought to be fired. You know, it's a mighty sad day in our nation when the red, white, and blue have to be hidden. There was a time in our history when those colors never ran. I sure do miss those days. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
President Trump shattering norms, standards, perhaps even laws by holding such an event.
It was filled with harsh attacks, but it was so dark and stressful that there's no hope in that message.
Darkness articulating what he's against more than what he's for.
He didn't paint a very clear picture of his second agenda.
Fidel Castro, Julius Caesar, Mobutu Sese Seko. That was not an American president giving an acceptance speech. That was a monarch. This would be the end of America. If this is what we're going to be, this won't be a democracy. That's a monarchy. It was repugnant. Sorry.
All right. So if you did not watch last night and all you heard was the media, that's what you'd think about the convention. And so that's why you need to pay attention and watch and listen to sources that you can trust. And this is one of them. Sandy Rios back with you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. The question is, did you watch last night, and were there things that you really enjoyed, people that you want to bring to, you know, to our attention, moments that you thought were very special? Let's go to Virginia and talk to Judy. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Sandy. I thought it was fabulous.
It renewed my faith and hope in America to see people from all walks of life and all colors up there giving their testimonies.
Was there anything in particular that you liked?
I thought the parents of the young woman who was killed by ISIS last night was very moving.
Oh, yes.
President Trump reached out to them.
Yeah, it was Carl Mueller, and that was Kayla Mueller. She was in the news for a while, so people may remember. And so Carl and his wife held up Kayla's picture, and they talked about how the Obama administration did nothing to help her when she was held by ISIS for such a very long time. And then the President Trump came in and did everything he could to free her. She, of course, did not get free. She was killed, but it was very moving. I thought so too, Judy. And I think the same thing. I felt encouraged, and heaven knows we need encouragement. That's one of the reasons I'm concentrating on it so much. There is other news, but we have bad news all the time, and so I felt we should have some good news. Anything else about it that you want to share?
Well, it just inspired me, and I hope it inspires everybody else who watched to get out there and work this election season. We're up against the wall against evil forces.
Yeah. Okay, Judy, thanks. And that reminds me, several of you did call yesterday. Call your county clerk. Every county has an entity that's in charge of your elections. And you, if you can at all, you need to go get hired, not a volunteer, but go get hired as a poll worker. There's lots of money from that last COVID package to pay poll workers. And my understanding is that Democrats are flocking in to do this. But we need conservatives there who want to make sure that things are handled properly. And as I said to you before, in the county that houses Detroit, there was one lone guy, a worker in the polls, who saw that there was all kinds of chicanery with mail-in balloting. And so we need you to do that. That you ask me what you can do? That's what you can do. Call your county and find out, you know, you can find it or look online and don't get hired. For that one day. And you'll get paid well, too. So some of you could probably use a few dollars. So just saying that would be the thing to do. All right. So one of the things that happened last night, there was a lot of emphasis on what's happening in the streets, and rightfully so. And so Patrick Lynch, who's the president of the Police Benevolent Association, I love his accent. He talks about what's happening in New York and with the police. And this is clip 5. Let's listen.
I'm Pat Lynch, president of the Police Benevolent Association, speaking to you on behalf of 50,000 active and retired New York City police officers. We are the proud men and women who wear a shield on our chest and put ourselves in harm's way to protect our city. We are proud to endorse our president, Donald J. Trump, for re-election because the stakes have never been higher. Like cops across the country, we are staring down the barrel of a public safety disaster. More than 1,000 people have been shot in New York City so far this year. Almost 300 have been killed. These are not just numbers. These are real people. A father gunned down while holding his 7-year-old daughter's hand. A beloved neighborhood peacemaker killed by a stray bullet. A 17-year-old who made all the right choices, who worked hard to go to college and earned a sports scholarship, murdered before he can tell his mother the news. A 1-year-old child shot dead in his stroller. Innocent people, innocent lives lost. One tragedy is too many, but every day the number keeps growing. And every day our communities are asking us, why is this happening? The answer is simple. The Democrats have walked away from us. They have walked away from police officers, and they've walked away from the innocent people we protect. Democratic politicians have surrendered our streets and our institutions. The loudest voices have taken control, and our so-called leaders are scrambling to catch up with them. In city after city, they've slashed police budgets. They have hijacked and dismantled the criminal justice system. They've passed laws that made it impossible for police officers to do our job effectively. Here's the sad truth that every cop in this country knows. The violence and chaos we're seeing now isn't a side effect. It isn't an unintended consequence. It's actually the goal. The radical left doesn't really want better policing. They don't really care about making the justice system fairer. What they want is no policing. What they want is a justice system that just stops working altogether. In places where Democrats are in power, the radical left is getting exactly what they want, and our country is suffering for it. I've been a New York City police officer for 36 years. I've spent 21 of those years protecting the cops who protect New Yorkers. I've never seen our streets go this bad so quickly. I've never heard from so many cops from every corner of the country who are saying the same thing. Our hands are tied. If we're going to turn the tide and restore law and order, we cannot fall into the left's trap. There is nobody who hates bad cops more than good cops. But that doesn't matter to the radical left. To them, we're all just bad because we're all just blue. Their anti-law enforcement campaign isn't about a single incident. It isn't the result of one bad law or one bad policy. It's about a message. The message is police officers are the enemy. The message is criminals have the right to resist arrest. The message is if you commit a crime, if you victimize the most vulnerable of people, the justice system will not hold you accountable. That's the message echoing through city halls and state houses across our country. It's playing on a loop in the media. The criminals have heard that message and they're taking full advantage. We must stop that message. We must expose the left's lies about police officers and the job that we do. And we will do that because we have something that they don't. We have a real leader. We have a powerful voice in the most powerful office in our country. We have President Donald J. Trump. Unlike the Democrats who are running in fear of the mob in the street, President Trump has never apologized for supporting police officers and standing up for law and order. Unlike the Democrats who froze in the face of rioting and looting, President Trump matches his words with his actions. He gives law enforcement the support and the tools we need to go out there and put a stop to it, period. End of story. It has never been harder to be a police officer in this country, but there are two things that keep us going. We look at the victims, the vulnerable, the regular working people who count on us. We keep strapping on our duty belts and bullet-resistant vests because we know we can't let them down. And while we do that, we hear the words of our president, who says to police officers everywhere, "I will never let you down." We know that he hasn't, and we know that he won't. We've been fortunate to have him in office these past 4 years, and we know that we cannot afford to lose him. When it comes to your safety, your family's safety, and the safety of all Americans, there's no other choice. You won't be safe in Joe Biden's America. We can have 4 more years of President Trump, or you can have no safety, no justice, and no peace.
All right, that was Patrick Lynch, president of the Police Benevolent Association in New York City. And ironically, while this beautiful event was taking place on the lawn of the White House, and it was gorgeous, outside, the protesters were just ramping up unbelievably. And as a matter of fact, Senator Rand Paul and his wife, Kelly, who, you know, I just told you, we ran into them in the streets I forgot in the town, but it was in South Dakota. Had a nice, really nice visit with them, and I thought about what a tremendous price Rand Paul has already paid. You know, a doctor who doesn't need this, like the president, he didn't need this job. He didn't need this job. I'm sure he's doing very, very well, thriving practice, and yet he wanted to do something for his country. And so his neighbor attacks him, nearly kills him, you know, breaks all kinds of ribs. He almost died from that. He's recovered now, and so he goes out, you know, leaving the White House just to go to his hotel, and the protesters surround him and his wife, Kelly, and if you see it, there's an angry mob. It's over 100 people, and the police there's just not that many police, and they have they're trying to surround both of them as they walk through the crowds. And so Rand Paul texted last night, "Thank you, D.C. Police Department, for literally saving our lives from a crazed mob." And also, then the riots filled the streets. They're finally, you know, these things happened late in the night last night, so the reports are just now coming out. This is one from Fox, just as I was, you know, as we were talking here this morning during the show. Allegedly, these protesters started out with a noise demonstration and dance party, but I'll tell you, I saw a video much earlier this morning of a man walking through with his wife, an older guy, and he was just trying to watch the fireworks because at the end of the President Trump's speech, there were beautiful fireworks over Washington Memorial. And so this gentleman was there to try to watch the fireworks, but he was surrounded and he was hit in the back of the head. Somebody punched him. You can see that in one video. And then later he's knocked over, falls down. He gets back up and keeps walking, but it is just unbelievable how he was treated. And so this morning, Fox is filling in the blanks on how the police and the protesters got in an absolute brawl last night after or during President Trump's speech. All right. Well, I want to know what you think about what you saw last night. Our phone number again is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Roslyn in Florida. Good morning, Roslyn.
Good morning.
So how did you watch it last night?
I watched some. I watched part where the young man who used to be a football player, and he was talking about America and all the good things that had happened. He said he used to be a Democrat, but he votes for Trump because of all of the things that Trump is doing and will do. My major reason for calling is that I am a black female. I've been a conservative since Bill Clinton was running. When I saw that he was going to endorse Ellen DeGeneres, I knew then that the party had gone way too left. So I became a Republican, and I get a lot of flack from a lot of people.
I'm sure you do, Rosalind.
I followed Obama just to hear what he had to say because, of course, I was excited. Oh, wow, a black guy is going to be the president or running for president. Then I thought, wow, but his name don't sound like a black guy, not Obama. And so I did not vote for him. I voted for Trump. I voted for whomever was running against him, and I'm also a poll worker. I go to the polls every time, and this will be the first time that I will be going to do early election. And I became assistant manager so that I can find out what's really going on, and then I can become a manager after a couple of times of being assistant manager with the polls.
So you're doing something about it. I think the bottom line is you're actually doing something, Rosalind. And look, I know, you know, I have enough black friends. I know that it's still very hard to be a conservative in the black community. I mean, I think there are more and more voices. It's amazing. We heard so many of them at the convention. Because right is right and wrong is wrong. It has nothing to do with color. And I think I've said this so many times, it sounds like a cliche, but we have shared this country for so many years. We are part of each other's family. We're a different branch of the family, but we're family. And so no right-thinking black American wants their cities torn up, their businesses destroyed. It just doesn't make sense. And so we want to work together, not just that. We want to learn to live together even more deeply and fully. And so, Rosalind, thanks. I appreciate you calling. We can't hear you anymore, but it was nice talking to you. Thank you. And let's go to Janet in Illinois. Good morning, Janet.
Thank you, Sandy, for taking my call. I have watched both weeks of the conventions, and what a stark contrast. I noticed that Biden's in the Democratic convention, they made a big deal about how good of a father he was and how he rode every day into Washington to be at home or go back from Washington to be at home with his children, tuck them into bed at night. But none of his children, Hunter's not up there speaking eloquently like Trump's, all of his children are. And how articulate they are, and how passionate they are. I thought it was very moving. One of his sons closed by saying, "Dad, I really miss working with you."
Oh, that was Eric. I know. I played that earlier this week. I loved that too, Janet. I thought it was beautiful. I have a rule of thumb for me. Not all of our children can be good examples of parenting. In other words, everybody can have one child who's really does badly and poorly. But if all of your children do poorly, it probably is saying something about your parenting. And one of your children can actually rise above your bad parenting and do well. But if they all rise above and they're all doing well, that says something about your parenting. And there's no doubt about it that President Trump has really fine children. And that wasn't by accident. So Janet, thank you for pointing that out. I know lots of you have other favorite parts. And we're going to talk to you in just a second. I have another couple of things I want to share with you, but we will return right after this. Phone number is 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
This weekend on Encouragement Live, Josh McDowell offers hope and perspective for this time of crisis. This is Don Hawkins. From his perspective of over 50 years of ministry, Josh will address the complications and consequences of sheltering in place on youth and adults. Join us for Encouragement and Insight on Encouragement Live, Saturday at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. It's not by chance that Jesus refers to his church as the body. Just as it is with our physical bodies, every member has a distinct role and function to fulfill. Unfortunately, in this era of celebrity Christianity, we've reduced the concept of ministry solely to what occurs in what is often little more than Sunday productions and performances. The key to thriving in God's kingdom is understanding that every member in the body of Christ is vital and is called to ministry.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. America cannot be what it is intended to be until America's men are what they are intended to be. The violence that has consumed our major cities is largely perpetrated by males who themselves are consumed with rage. They do not know what it means to be a man. I've written the Boy to Man book to help dads mentor their young sons on the path to manhood. It's a book for a father to read to and with his son so that his son hears the wisdom of Solomon coming out of the mouth of his own father. I received a note this week from a father in the Midwest. It reads, "Your book has been great for our family, Brian. I'm going through it with our 15-year-old right now. I have three more boys who will also go through it if the Lord tarries." Order your copy of the Boy to Man book today at afastore.net, afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 1:05 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. This week, the Republican Convention gave a platform to many heroes. Among them was one of freedom's most impressive champions, a blind Chinese dissident who found safety and liberty in America after he escaped torture and imprisonment at the hands of the Chinese Communist Party. In brief remarks subsequently tweeted by President Trump, Chen Guangcheng warned, quote, "The CCP is an enemy of humanity. It is terrorizing its own people, and it is threatening the well-being of the world. The U.S. must use its values of freedom, democracy, and the rule of law to gather a coalition of other democracies to stop the CCP's aggression," unquote. This reality must inform our pending national decision. Our next commander-in-chief will face no more important national security, economic, and public health threat than that posed by the CCP. We must know now if they will act accordingly. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios with you. We're going to go to the phones in just 1 second, but on Kyle Rittenhouse, who was that 17-year-old boy who shot three and killed two in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a couple of nights ago. Yesterday, I didn't know much information. I just want to drop this in. Kyle is from Illinois. And if the way he was painted by the media is, it says that, this is a direct quote, "This teen, whose social media history is full of misogyny and white supremacy, had easy access to an AR-15. That's from Shannon Watts. Jennifer Rubin says, "More blood on Trump's hands." So that's how Kyle has been painted. But it turns out Kyle was there trying to be a medic, trying to help. His social media was not filled with misogyny or white supremacy, unless you think supportive police is misogyny or white supremacy. He'd actually been trying to raise money for police to show appreciation. And now we learn that, as we learn more and more, and I haven't talked about all of this, let me just say that Kyle was shooting in self-defense. And the people that he shot were Joseph Rosenbaum, 36. He was chasing the teen. He threw something at him. Rosenbaum was a registered sex offender for a sex crime involving a minor. The other person he shot, that doesn't mean he should be shot. I'm just trying to tell you who Kyle shot. The second one is Anthony Huber, 26, shot and killed. He actually hit a Kyle on the head with his skateboard. And it was self-defense. You can see it in the videos. And that's and the last person that was shot is a guy named Gage Grosskreutz, 26, who's a member of the People's Revolution Movement. He was chasing Kyle with a loaded gun. And he came. He was shot by Kyle at close range in the upper arm. He's got a criminal record. And his friend who was seen with him in the hospital, Gage, is going to recover. Says that Gross said he just regrets not being able to kill Kyle. So, interesting, Lynn Wood, who defended the kid from Covington High School, the attorney, is coming to Kyle's defense. And he says, thanks to all freedom-loving Americans who responded with requests for contact information for Kyle Rittenhouse, Kyle will have excellent legal representation. Many others will need your help in coming days. Stay strong. Continue to speak the truth. Continue to demand justice under our Constitution. Continue to be fearless. And then he says, most important of all, continue. This is Linwood, the attorney that's going to be representing Kyle. Most important of all, continue to pray for your fellow citizens. Pray for our president. Pray for our country. And always, always, always fight back. We will not go quietly into the night. We are Americans. Okay, so that's an update on what is happening with Kyle Rittenhouse. I've heard several people say they've watched the videos, and Kyle was trying to keep himself from being killed. So we'll find more about that, I'm sure. All right, let's go to, we've got some people that have been waiting for a while. Let's go to Charles in West Virginia. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Sister Sandy. real quick, I'm a native born West Virginian, and you're sort of born into the Democratic Party back in the 40s. That's just natural. You were just Democrat. And it took me getting out of college to realize that I needed to change to Republican. But as far as the speech goes last night, my man was Giuliani. He nailed it. That guy fires me up, Mayor Giuliani. We need about two dozen more mayors like that in this country.
Charles, I agree with you. I wanted to play him this morning, but it's too long. I'm with you. Oh. I was like, I felt like standing up and cheering when he finished. He talked about what had happened to his city, how it's been destroyed, and how we have to take back the streets. We got to protect people. Remember when he was mayor of New York City, he turned everything around. He got rid of the terrible pornography, prostitutes on the street, which sounds so innocent now. But he really just restored law and order to New York, and it's very hard for him to watch what's happening. And so he was impassioned. I totally agree with you, Charles, Brother Charles. Thank you. All right, let's go to Dale is also in West Virginia. Dale, what's on your mind?
Hi, Sandy. I just want to say last night's program was one of the best as far as I'm concerned. And I'm glad you clarified that about that young man, the 17-year-old. I tried to call in yesterday. I saw the video on TV where they chased him down. He was not pointing the gun at him. It was hanging over his shoulder. They knocked him down. And I think if I were him, I would have been thinking about that young man in the pickup truck that was severely beaten. And that he had every right in the world to use that gun on those people as far as I'm concerned, because he did not know what was going to happen. 17 years old.
Then he read. It looks as though in the video, like he's trying to turn himself in. He walks toward the police, with his hands up. People that have watched all of those, there are a lot of videos, as you know, Dale, pretty much are saying there's no way he's a murderer. You know, it was self defense. So we'll see what happens with Kyle. And then of course he lives in Antioch, which is 20 minutes from Kenosha. They're right on the border, Illinois and Wisconsin. And the way that it was quoted in the media, it was he fled the state. But his home was 20 minutes away, and he tried to turn himself into police, and police just drove right by him. But Dale, I know we'll revisit that again. That'll be coming up. But what did you think about the convention?
I thought the convention was great. All 4 days of it, I mean, beautiful. And it's like people say, he brought out the people in this country, not himself, but what he's done for the people in this country, and showed every person. Now, last night, the man and wife who lost their daughter to ISIS,
yep.
I'll tell you what, if people look at that and they can still, if they can still vote for Mr. Biden, they need help. They need serious, serious help. And the Christians in this country who call themselves Democrats better realize exactly where they're putting themselves. So, you know, but those people, that mother and father, my gosh, I tell you, they held hands there, and I don't know how they delivered that message, to tell you the truth. I really don't.
I know. And, you know, yes, them and Ann Dorn, whose husband was the police chief in St. Louis, David Dorn, who was shot by protesters when things were really burning in St. Louis. And her, the talk, she talked about what it was night that, like the night he died. He spent his life serving people. And so it's just, so there were lots of stories like that, Dale. But I'm with you that Carl Mueller and his wife and their daughter Kayla is an incredible story. Thank you, Dale. Appreciate your comments. Let's go to Jeff in Texas. Very patient Jeff. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Very good, Sandy. Hey, you asked about where or what part of this last night was really special. And President Trump's, he just gave a little quip, but it's very, very strong what he said about the life that he gave up. And when you see people who are sacrificing, and when I saw that, people don't realize, you know, like say what he actually gave up just to run for office. But when he had to make the decision to shut the country down, that affected his hotels, resorts, everything. He actually made the decision for people over his own income, his family's income. That's a sacrifice. It's not a simple thing, and I love him for it. Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff, thank you. And don't go away yet. I just want to say, you know, we played the girl on the first night, I believe, that talked about right to try. She didn't just talk about her own circumstances with being able to try an experimental drug and it saved her life, and that was because of the president's program. Okay, so that's what she's talking about. But she went on to say that President Trump, we know how much you've sacrificed. And so just to be specific, Jeff, he gave up. He was a billionaire who had, living life beautifully and, you know, gorgeous surroundings, gorgeous wife. He could have, he did not need this. He's not even taking a salary. His children are taking a beating. Their business is taking a beating. And yet they accuse him of being lazy. They accuse him of being selfish. At all of the things that you just said. And this girl pointed that out, and she said at the end, I wish we had the clip, she said, President Trump, you may not in this life, you know, reap the, these are my words for her, you may not reap all the rewards of the sacrifices you have made, but your reward in heaven will be so great for all that you have sacrificed. And I think she's right about that, Jeff, and I thank you for bringing that to our attention. Thank you so much. Let's go to Kelly in Texas. Good morning, Kelly. Good.
First of all, I just want to say I love listening to you. You're such a blessing. Just the way you speak the truth, and it's just so heartwarming. So
thank
I wanted
you.
To tell you that.
Thank you.
The RNC blessed me so much for so many reasons. For one, to hear God Bless America and our beautiful flags flying was just so touching to me. I mean, you know, what we hear and what we've seen on TV, people burning our flags, and to see such respect and just honoring was just amazing to me. I loved all the speakers. So many touched me. Jack Brewer, I love the way he called out people, especially about the Black Lives Matter cult. He was just so direct, and you could just hear it in his voice and see it on his face. Every speaker just talked from their hearts. And it was just amazing. I think it was the best ever.
Oh, I do too. I do too, Kelly. And for the very reason you said, because it was just plain, regular people speaking from their hearts. And none of them are boring. None of the Cuban refugee who built an empire business, you know, just a nice business in Florida. The Chinese man who'd been through persecution in China. Everybody, the many people that had been part of the criminal justice system that were, they happened to be black, and they talked about the change in their lives. Both the two that I'm thinking about talked about the change through Jesus Christ, and then they thanked President Trump for implementing a criminal justice reform that made it possible for them to have a new life. So, yeah. I mean, really, how does it get better than that? I felt that President Trump's speech, although it was important, you know, we know where he stands. The beauty of it was just hearing from the people, the difference in their lives, the way his policies, and he's hired some great people. And I'm telling you, great things are going on that you'll never know about. And I would take up the rest of our time if I dropped in what I know that he's doing. It's like an amazing thing, stuff that you'll never hear, like reducing regulations by the thousands and thousands and thousands in order to help small businesses thrive. That's just one thing. They were being choked to death under the Obama administration. But those are not like headline stories. But those are the kinds of stories we heard from people, and it was pretty amazing. Let's go to Sherry in Illinois. What did you think, Sherry?
Well, one thing that came that was stark that really came to light yesterday was that President Trump gets things done, and when the people actually talked about how Joe Biden would give them his empathy, but then he wouldn't do anything, he wouldn't make changes. You know, that's the difference between Joe Biden and President Trump. Is Joe Biden's been in politics for decades upon decades, and he is just a politician. He may be a likable guy, he may be grandfatherly looking. Those things don't change our country. They don't affect the world. You know, I mean, they're important if they're God's standards. But President Trump is a man of his word. He says what he's going to do, and he does it. He gets it done.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. And I think that's what's so refreshing for all of us. And he is honest. You know, you may not like what he says, but he's telling you what he thinks. I'll take that any day. I will take that any day over a politician who says what you want to hear and then doesn't do the right thing. I'm with you, Sherry. Let's go to Janine in Florida. Janine, you got the last word.
Hey, Sandy. Good morning. I'm a first-generation American, and I just found myself this morning wondering what would have happened if we would have had a leader like President Trump in Cuba. Perhaps I would have still had my home. Perhaps I would have had all my land, my companies. So it is just I'm encouraging all of Americans and Christians to vote for President Trump and freedom.
You know, Janine, you remind me of a good point to make, because the Cubans, as you well know, tried to fight back. There were a lot of efforts to take down Fidel Castro, but he had all the advantages. He had every advantage. He had the arms, the military. He had, helping from Russia, money, armed, all this stuff. And a lot of Cubans laid down their lives. So many tried to fight. And America actually interjected and interceded. We're supposed to help them. I think it was the Bay of Pigs. And we failed. We failed the Cuban people. But the point is, they could not win on their own. They could not push back on someone who was so well-equipped and powerful. And so they've had, you guys have had 50 years of poverty and oppression. Same thing in Venezuela. The people cannot fight back by themselves. They needed help. I have to say, same thing happened in the United States of America before it was that, during the Revolution, if it hadn't been for the French. It's when you have an oppressor, it's very hard to fight back an oppressor who gains more and more power. And so what Janine is saying, that some strong person who's willing to fight and sacrifice is what's needed. That's what God does. He uses people like Moses to deliver people. And so Janine's point is, if they'd had a strong man who didn't mind, could have laid down his life and his life's work, maybe Cuba would have been spared as well. Janine, excellent point. Thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Foundation or American